is Travis, excuse me, Travis Kashawn Brown versus Commonwealth, Mr. McCracken, Ms. Darren. Mr. McCracken, do you need any rebuttal time?
Well, Judge, I'm going to say 5 minutes just because it seems that I always do. I rarely have that time left, it seems. Welcome to Norfolk, by the way. It's the first time I've seen you in the new setting. It's a pleasure to be here. It's nice to have home court advantage for a change. I'm here on behalf of Travis Kashawn Brown. Mr. Brown was convicted of possessing a firearm by a violent felon, possession of a firearm while possessing cocaine, and simple possession of cocaine. The only issue before the court is whether there was sufficient evidence to convict him of the possession of the firearm while possessing cocaine and the simple possession of cocaine. The facts are relatively straightforward. This was a traffic stop, of all things, by a bicycle officer. But basically, the traffic stop proceeded speeding, smell of marijuana, and my client, who was driving the vehicle, was wearing a sidearm, which was in plain view. He was gotten out of the vehicle. Pursuant to a search of his person, a small quantity of marijuana was seized from his back pocket. The officer obtained consent to search and to search the vehicle, and then when he entered the vehicle, he found a small quantity of crack cocaine. I think it was two rocks, and they weighed approximately 0.3 grams. I think it was 0.311 grams. It was in one small baggie in the front console, essentially, as the officer described the console, and there's no photographic evidence of what this thing looks like, but essentially it was apparently a two-cup holder with a console behind it that had a cover on it. The cocaine was in the driver's side cup holder, which was not covered. The officer's testimony was that when he went in to search the vehicle, he saw, when he looked in the cup holder, he saw the cocaine and seized it. The issue is whether or not the evidence of record is sufficient for the trial court to make determination that the defendant constructively possessed the cocaine in the cup holder. Now, there's a couple things that I think we ought to talk about. First off, it's not clear that the Attorney General in her response basically talked about plain view. There's nothing about plain view here. What is undisputed is the cocaine was in a cup holder that didn't have a cover on it, and it was within arm's distance of both the defendant and the sole passenger who was sitting next to him.
What about the testimony that your client was using the cup holder? Doesn't that...
There wasn't any...
That he was using it as an ashtray.
The only, what he said was there was an ashtray. I think you have to look at it. That came out of his testimony, not out of the officer's testimony. And what the defendant said was that there was an ashtray sitting on top of the cup holder. He wasn't using the cup holder as an ashtray, but by his testimony, there was some type of ashtray that was basically in the cup holder that he was knocking ashes into.
If the trial judge believes, doesn't that show dominion and over the cup holder?
There is no question that if all we were talking about was his ability to exercise control of what was in that cup holder, whether he had that testimony about the ashtray or not, it wouldn't have made any difference. It clearly was, and there are a number of cases that deal with this. I mean, if it's in the contained console, or it's right there, he had the ability to exercise control of it. The issue about the constructive possession in this case is whether he knew what it was, not that whether or not he could control it. This is a very small quantity of cocaine. It's laying in the bottom of a cup holder. The fact the cup holder doesn't have a top on it does not reflect that he knows it's there or what it is. It's not his car. The evidence is not clear how long he'd been in the car. His testimony was that he'd been driving approximately 30 minutes, but we don't know what the circumstances were, how long he could have been in the car for all we know for 8 hours. I mean, there's just no evidence of that. The one thing that is clear is that there's nothing to show that he could see what was in the bottom of that cup holder.
Well, he testified to what was in the cup holder.
He testified what was on top of the cup holder and what was beside the cup holder, not what was down inside. When they asked him, on direct, when he testified, he was testifying about the gun and his belief that he had a right to have the gun. When on cross-examination, the Commonwealth asked him about the officer's testimony about what was in the cup holder. He said, I have an ashtray sitting on top of the cup holder. The officer asked me to put out my Black and Mild, which was apparently the vehicle he was using to smoke the marijuana that got him out of the car. And that there was a piece of paper lying in, and he thought the officer was mistaken that there was something down in the cup holder. That didn't say, he did not say, I looked in the cup holder. He did not say that, you know, that I could tell what was in there. He said he had an ashtray sitting on top of the cup holder.
Was it daylight or dark?
It was 11:15 at night, Your Honor. You know, basically, so this whole thing took place at night. The only thing, you know, the whole point we have here, there are two cases that I believe control the outcome here, and they're both cited in my brief. The AG has sought to distinguish those, but it's Crawford and Jones, and both of them involve very similar circumstances. In those cases, the crack cocaine in both times was opened up on the center console rather than the cup holder, but it was between the driver and the passenger. I think Coward was the passenger, but doesn't change the factual scenario.
What about the fact that he had a cocked semi-automatic gun and a holster on his hip? Is that relevant as to the
Commonwealth? I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize.
Is that relevant as to whether he had knowledge of the two rocks?
Well, the Commonwealth has cited cases that suggest that, you know, a firearm being an instrumentality that's used in drug trade, that basically shows you something. But, you know, of course, this is not drug trafficking. We've got a minute quantity of cocaine. There's certainly nothing to suggest. There's no scales. There's nothing
else.
The
case law doesn't talk about the quantity. It just says it's a factor because people that use drugs and deal drugs frequently are armed.
Judge, I don't think it said anything about people who use drugs are frequently armed. It talks normally that it's a tool of the trade in drug distribution. There's not one thing to suggest that drug distribution is involved in this particular scenario. I would submit that this was no different than if he had a cell phone.
In Coward and Jones, was there any statement by either of the defendants that indicated that they had that they were using the area of the car in question? Because there is testimony that your client was...
Not to my knowledge. I don't think in either of those cases, as I read the summary, obviously I'm not privy to the briefs of the...
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something.
No, sir. The only thing I can say is I read the cases. I would believe that both Coward and Jones exercised their right not to testify. Clearly, there were no statements, as I read the two cases, that suggested they made any contemporaneous statements that indicated an awareness of the presence of the drug, which is exactly the same as here. There was no furtive movements by my client. There was, you know, got him out of the car, got his gun, got his marijuana, and said, can we search the car? And he said, sure, go ahead.
But he did testify that he was the person in the vehicle using the cup holder.
He testified that he was using the ashtray on top of the cup holder, and there's a vast difference in those two statements, Judge. What we're trying to do is somehow say that we saw this guy's hand down in that cup holder, and we never did. We're talking about a very insubstantial quantity of cocaine. We're talking about it being, it's not secreted in a closed space, but it's not in plain view either. The police officer couldn't see it when he's looking in the car. He saw it when he climbed in and started searching the car. What do you think he was searching? He was searching the cup holders in the center console. That's what he was searching. The fact that he could see it from that vantage point doesn't mean the driver could have seen it from his vantage point, and the officer didn't testify that he could have. All the officer said is, it wasn't covered by anything, and when I started my search, I can find it.
Now, could the trier of fact conclude that somebody sitting in the driver's seat could see it?
Not from the evidence that was presented. Not from the evidence presented. No description of how this thing was laid out other than the fact it didn't have a cover on it. No photographic evidence, no description by the police officer.
But is it reasonable to conclude from that it was in plain view?
I don't believe it is, Judge. I mean, I don't think it's any more reasonable to conclude that it's in plain view than that the items that were sitting up on the top of the exposed in the center console in a car was in plain view in a darkened vehicle. And that's what those are the exact fact patterns you had in both Joan and Cal. Cocaine sitting exposed on top of the center console. Here, it's in a cup holder and apparently laying down. The officer, you know, she made, you know, and I think it was the Coward case where the officer said it was the Jones case where he could illuminate, he got in the car to search and he illuminated and saw it with the flashlight on the center console. Well, this is nighttime. I don't know whether they used a flashlight in this case or not. There's no evidence that he did, but there's no evidence he didn't. One would assume a police officer is going to search a car for drugs and guns, he's probably at nighttime using a flashlight, but there is no evidence of that. But that doesn't help her any more than it helps me. It's neutral in that regard. But really, all you have when you sift through all the facts here, there's no furtive movements, there's no contemporaneous statements, no contemporaneous actions by the defendant from which one could logically conclude he was aware of the presence and the nature of that bag where it was located in the car. It's really Jones and Coward. Any further questions?
Nope.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Leah Barron for the Commonwealth. The evidence in this case, albeit circumstantial, was plainly sufficient to support the conviction of possession of cocaine, possession of a firearm while in possession of cocaine, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. The evidence showed that the defendant was stopped for speeding. The police officer, in his words, instantly noted the odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle, and that the defendant had a cocked, loaded handgun on his right hip, which would have been next to the console and next to the cup holder within inches of the defendant's fingers. The defendant said that the car belonged to his girlfriend, that he had been driving the vehicle for approximately 30 minutes. He was arrested, taken out of the car. The police officer saw. There is no evidence that he moved anything, touched anything, or had to use any illuminating device in order to see the small plastic baggie containing, clear plastic baggie, containing the rocks of crack cocaine. The driver's side cup holder in which the baggie was located was open, and in front of the console...
Am I correct? There was a difference in the account by the officer and the defendant. The defendant saying he was using this ashtray with his cigar, and the officer saying there was no covering on the cup.
Your Honor, at pages 18 through 19 of the appendix record, the officer testifies the driver's side cup holder. In the driver's side cup holder, there was a small plastic baggie that contained two smaller pieces of what appeared to be crack cocaine. On page 47 of the appendix record, the defendant testifies, "The only thing inside that cup holder was my ashtray. He was using the ashtray to put ashes into, he was smoking a Black and Mild, and he said he was asked to put out the Black and Mild, and that he did so in the ashtray that was in the cup holder, and he said, so the ashtray was sitting inside the cup holder. Answer, yes, sir. Where was the ashtray when the officer got there? It was in the same place. So the officer was mistaken when he said there was nothing else in this cup holder except, and there he's interrupted, I think the clear intent there is except the baggie containing the cocaine, and the defendant says, yes, he was mistaken. So the defendant, who is a convicted felon, said the police officer was mistaken in his observation of the plastic baggie with the cocaine. He said that the only thing in that cup holder was an ashtray that he was using for his Black and Mild cigarette or cigar or whatever they are. I guess they're cigars. And at any rate, once the trial judge rejected this testimony, the trial judge was entitled to infer that he was lying to conceal his guilt. So that, coupled with the fact
that... Does the portion of the testimony that he himself, the driver, was using the driver's side cup holder, could the trial court believe that part and disbelieve the rest?
It's a completely up to the... Yes. Yes. It's completely up to the finder of fact as to what to believe and what to believe and what not to believe of a witness's testimony rather than in whole or in part. So, yes, that the defendant was using the cup holder is something that the court was absolutely entitled to infer. The evidence showed that the defendant's arm and fingers would have been within inches of this plastic baggie of cocaine. So you have occupancy and close proximity. We have the loaded cocked handgun, which is there's just no question. It's repeatedly been held that it's a tool of the drug trade. And then we have the cocaine itself.
But aren't we taking this into a new direction? I mean, it's one thing to say drug dealers, they have beepers and guns and drug users.
No, I don't think so. I think it's an illegal, it's a consumable, it's valuable, No, I do not know, Your Honor. I don't think we're taking this in the wrong direction. It is a circumstance for the trial court, to have considered. And finally, that cocaine itself.
Then appellate decisions distinguish between distribution and mere possession as to guns?
I'm not aware of that, Your Honor. If the cases do, I'm not aware of that. And
okay.
I think it certainly is a circumstance that the court was entitled to consider. I don't think the inference doesn't go the other way, that the fact that he possessed a handgun means he didn't possess the cocaine.
I don't think anybody's arguing that.
Beg your pardon?
But I mean, so if you're searching a home, you find some drugs, you're trying to figure out who the drugs belong to. Defendant says, why own a gun? So you say, oh, well, drugs probably belong to you because there's a gun in the house.
Well, we would submit that's not as strong a situation as the gun in the holster at the defendant's right hip next to his right arm, which is next to the console, and his fingers are within inches of the cup holder containing the baggie of cocaine. When the court looked at all of this evidence collectively, the court reasonably concluded that the defendant had dominion and control over that cocaine, and he was properly convicted of possessing it. Are there any further questions? We ask the court to affirm.
Thank you for your argument. Mr. McCracken, you have ample rebuttal time.
Well, and as rare as that is for me, Judge, I'm going to do something that's also rare. I think I addressed all of the Commonwealth's argument in my original argument. So I'm going to leave whatever time is on the board. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm going to write that in my diary.
Yes, sir. I know it's a unique occurrence.
All right. We'll come down and greet counsel and take up the next case.